All right, random thought. And this ties into our conversation last week about sex positivity. Mm. And we agreed that sex positivity was, you know, keeping an open mind about people's sexual choices, and people are free, male and female, able to do the things they want to do as long as they're fun and safe, number one.
Safety first.
Is the key. So this went around on Reddit this past week. In the UK, there's a young lady who is pregnant, engaged to be married in March 2022. She created a Tinder profile because she wanted to see how much fun she could have before she gets pregnant. And so in her profile, it says, first of all, I'm pregnant, but I don't let that stop me from having fun. Second, I'm engaged to the most wonderful man who doesn't know that I'm creating this profile. We're getting married in March 2022. I just want to see how much fun I can have before I get married. Bonus, if I can find someone that can steal me away from my fiance.
Oh, boy.
So last week, we were, at least I was like, hey, right on, you know, women, men, you do you. Then I see this story and I'm like, I don't know.
Okay, and let's take a positive look at this in the sex positivity way we were looking at this last week. If a man were to do this, women would be chastising him. So I feel it's only fair for us to chastise this woman the same way women would chastise a man if he did this bullshit. Because, oh my, first of all, I can only imagine with all the other things she put in there in the profile and all this, the dating stuff and, you know, looking to have fun. Pregnancy's not going to stop me from having fun. And see if you can steal me a bonus, if you can steal me away from my fiance, even though she calls him the most wonderful man. Something tells me that in that sense, she goes, hey, well, I can't get pregnant.
But
safety's obviously out the window with this shit. Safety. So this is not sex positivity. This is sex negativity. This is carelessness. This is recklessness. This is the kind of stuff that women said men do recklessly and with reckless abandon and very careless. And apparently, she's out to prove that women, anything men can do, women can do better. Or worse.
Right. I mean, so I'm all about sex positivity, but to your point, this is not safe because you're carrying a child. And then your wonderful husband who doesn't know you're creating this profile is the problem. There are people who have polyamorous relationships, open relationships, and those people normally let you know that their partner knows that they have this profile out there. And so in this case, she's doing this on the sneak, which is totally bad. Now, again, we got to ask ourselves, just because on the internet doesn't mean it was true.
Right. There's that.
But so let's just say that this could all be a lie. This could be somebody just trying to gain clicks. But let's say if this is true. I hope that this wonderful man finds out and leaves her because I don't know what I would do if I was in that situation. I'm a Scorpio. I might have to pull like a deer stand in that type of scenario. Like, there's going to be a problem. Listen to the end of Dear Stan. That's what Terrell would probably do in this situation. I don't think I could handle that well by any means. You're carrying my child. We're getting married in March. And you're doing this on the sneak. We got a huge problem with that. So I hope this guy finds out and runs if it's the case. But what about this whole steal me away from my fiance?
Apparently, we've learned nothing from... we've seen this in the movies before, and it never works out well in the movies. First movie we've seen this with was... what was that movie called? Indecent Proposal. Remember? I'll give you $1 million if you'll let me spend one night with your wife.
And, but he just wanted one night. He didn't want a relationship with her.
Hey, and apparently one night was all he needed to fuck up their relationship. And then we're just... At the end of the movie, they got back together, right?
Well, it alludes to they got back together. Woody Harrelson's character takes the money that they got and goes to this auction and buys some like elephant or some weird little statue to get rid of all the money because it made them all angry. And I was just like,
idiot.
I mean, y'all could work on the relationship, get some counseling. Counseling will run you about $5,000-$10,000. And then you still have another, you know, 900,000 plus to do other things to make the relationship better.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, hey, you know, but it's a movie. But you're right. The odds on that working out wouldn't go well.
In 2021, he could have bought some Dogecoin and you know, double, triple that joker like it's nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think it's just a crazy story. I really hope it's not true. But it was making the rounds on Reddit, and it made me think about our conversation last week. Again, I hope the dude finds out and ends it. But if there's anybody that can steal her away from her fiance, she wasn't his in the first place. I think I've been in relationships and people have been like, well, do you get jealous? I'm like, no. If a guy hits on you and you decide to go with him, I can't stop you from doing that.
Because you'll do it anyway. Exactly.
Right. You're going to do what you got to do. I can't control that. So I'm not going to be jealous and be worried about what you're doing when you're on your girlfriend nights or you're traveling or whatever. You're going to Bahamas by yourself for a little weekend getaway to have some me time. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm going to have a lot of questions, but I'm not going to be jealous.
If I got to get jealous and mad about that, then we don't need to be together. Like, you know, if I got to go digging through your phone for shit, obviously we don't need to be together. And if you got to go digging through mine, I'll tell you right now, we don't need to be together.
Yeah, but you know, if your girl comes back from a trip to the Bahamas by herself, you know, and just kind of got a little extra pep in her step, I have some questions.
Yeah, well, I got questions for you. If you let your girl go on vacation by herself, where were you?
Well, she's grown. If she wants to take a solo vacation, she should be allowed to do that.
You want
to
take a solo walk down the beach? You want to take a solo walk down the beach? It's fine. But we going on vacation together. I need some sun, too. You can have your time walking down the beach.
I want sand in my toes. Oh, you want some alone time? You got 30 minutes. Go. And bring me back a Mai Tai.
And leave your Find My iPhone on. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, you know, like this one. Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, episode 41. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
And for those who are going like, yo, wait a minute, why is this so late? Let me explain what happened, right? Hold up, let me get this right. I know we usually do this at the end of the podcast, but I've got a huge bottle I got to finish up. So, you know, let's just
go. Well, you have to finish it. You can't just have one. To. Who just has one whiskey?
Yeah, no, not at all. Never just one. But so we actually did this podcast. Today is Monday. And, you know, of course, usually when we drop the podcast, and we actually did the podcast on Sunday when we usually record it. And for whatever reason, technical difficulties, it just didn't upload. Both parts didn't upload. So here we are. And for those who are not
one
watching on YouTube, Terrell is raising his hand. And I honestly believe that the reason it didn't upload, I think that he kind of purposely, because he made a prediction yesterday, right?
And did I? Because do you have it on tape, me making that prediction? There's no evidence.
Yes. Yes, I do. It's just shitty sound quality on that other one, so that's why we didn't use it. Do I need to go pull the receipt, sir? Terrell said that, you know, as a Saints fan, he can't root for anybody at Atlanta, so he picked Philly to win and go on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, I say he still has a kiss of death, but because last week he went 1-for-4, got 1 out of 4 correct. He says there's no kiss of death, picks Philly. And what happens? Philly fans, rest assured, don't blame Ben Simmons. Blame Just Terrell.
No, because Just Terrell wasn't scared to make a prediction. Ben Simmons is scared to shoot the ball. So that's different.
Oh, so Ben Simmons is LeBron James. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's scared to shoot the ball. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible game on his part. He's a young kid. He's, what, 24? Right. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing but upside for him. I don't see him staying at Philly. Mm-hmm. It was just bad. But at least I don't mind making the call and saying this was going to happen. And I'll even predict. Now we have the final four teams. Oh, right. Boy. So we have the Phoenix Suns and the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have now the Milwaukee Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks.
Now, who's going to be in the NBA Finals? Let's go ahead and screw this up for everybody that's going to follow your bets.
Milwaukee Bucks will be in the finals for the East.
Okay, good. Way to go, Atlanta. That means you're going.
Milwaukee Bucks will be in the finals for the East. And for the West, I'm going to pick Phoenix Suns.
Oh,
they played a phenomenal game without Chris Paul and won. Now, the Clippers don't have Kawhi. So if Kawhi comes back, that's obviously going to be a game changer. But
right
now, I'm picking Phoenix Suns and Milwaukee Bucks in the finals.
So Suns and Bucks in the finals. If your kiss of death continues to work the way it has, then it will be Clippers, Hawks in the finals. All right, gotcha.
Yep.
You know, something that happened over the weekend, I didn't watch this. I was too busy watching the Jamal Charlo fight. But there was a geriatric fight put on by Brute, Old Spice, and Bengay. We saw Julio Cesar Chavez getting back in the ring, and then Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fighting Anderson Silva. Remember, now if you know MMA, Anderson Silva is an MMA legend. He was 1-1 in his boxing career. This was his third fight, third boxing match. He ended up beating Chavez Jr. and now says he wants Logan Paul. Is that going to be enough to make you want to watch one of these Logan Paul fights?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's not. And you got Jake Paul saying he wants to fight Mike Tyson. Like, no, I wouldn't pay for it.
I want to see that fight. I want to see Mike. Because, see, here's the thing that Jake Paul goes. He goes, oh, he's old. He's really old. Okay, Roy Jones Jr., who took hits for, well, he didn't really take a lot of hits because he learned how to dodge a lot of them. So when he finally got hit, he always fell. However, Mike hit him. And if you remember after that fight, Mike was like, but you took that. You took that. Because even Roy was like, yo, you caught me one and a, ooh. Because Mike still throws with bad intentions. Even though he'll still do like he did back in the day. He'll hug you and kiss you after he's knocked you out. I guarantee he would do the same thing to Jake Paul. Jake Paul cannot take a punch from Mike Tyson. No matter how much
I agree. Jake Paul can't take a punch from Mike Tyson. I can't take a punch from Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson doesn't need to go 8 rounds with the Jake Paul. Floyd did that just for the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Mike did it, here's the situation I have with that fight. And then we'll go back to your original question about Anderson Silva. The problem with a Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight, if Tyson was to hurt Jake Paul, which everyone thinks he could easily do, that's negative press on Mike.
No.
Now, Jake got in the ring, but it's just going to be a negative thing.
You don't play boxing. You don't get in the ring to play a game. And if you do, you're going to get your ass hurt. You want to play with Mike? You don't jump in the lion's den and go, here, kitty, kitty. Wait, never mind. There was somebody who did that. But that jackass survived by the skin of their teeth. This one won't.
Right. I think it wouldn't be a Mike Tyson deal, but I could see if it was Anderson Silva, it would be more of a better fight because Anderson has a hand game, but I think Jake has size on Silva. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Silva get knocked out. It's rare, but we've seen it. So I don't know. I still wouldn't pay to see that. I mean, I would just catch the YouTube highlights the day after, but there's no way I would like pay for that fight.
That's why I wouldn't mind seeing Anderson Silva and Logan Paul. And again, I'm not paying for any of these, so I'm fine with watching them. Anderson Silva taking on Logan Paul. I wouldn't want to see him take Jake Paul because, Anderson Silva is older. And he's still, and you got to keep in mind, Jake Paul is in his 20s. He's young, right?
Right.
So he's quick, he's this, but that's where, fight a real boxer. See how that really works out for you, okay?
Yeah.
And I think that's where, so put him in against Mike. I will definitely watch that one. I would definitely watch that because he'll get some blows on Mike. But Mike knows how to go in and take that punishment and dish it. And when he dishes it, it's over. So I would love to see it. May not happen, but I'd love to see it.
I hope it doesn't.
So something popped up, and I think it was in one of the DMs, and you sent it to me. Skylar Diggins, you know, good old Skylar Diggins. Whew. I remember watching her at Notre Dame. And I would have seen an WNBA, but, you know.
First of all, shout out to WNBA. Yes. More people need to watch and support. So Skylar Diggins was a baller in college.
Yes.
I remember her winning the national championship. Mm-hmm. And, there was a story. They had a game. I forget who they played. And the highlight that the media put out was this nice crossover that Skylar did.
Because she got handles.
Right. One of the players on that team tweeted and said, yeah, but they took an L because they lost that game. And said, why are we not highlighting any of the people who actually won? And so Skylar replied to this person's tweet. And she says, girl, shut the F up.
That's my girl. She
says, can't they just show any highlight? And then the other girl says, this is what made me laugh. She said in quotes, shut the F up is fighting words. What's really good? I'm like, who talks like that? First of all, it's like all of y'all went to college. All of y'all are playing, you know, basketball. You're making thousands of dollars in the WNBA. Why are you acting?
I heard that.
Sorry. You're both doing well financially playing a game that you love. I wish you made more, but that's, you know, we got to get more fans to go to the games. But sorry. Oh, so the first comment under this whole story, this guy says, because these two are going to rematch in August. And I am actually going to watch that rematch, calling it right now. They're going to rematch in August. But the first commenter was like, wow, all this built up tension for the game in August. They're going to draw dozens, maybe even hundreds of fans. Yeah, it's jacked up, but it was funny. I saw that comment. I just was like, y'all need to get a kick.
Yeah, and it's a shame. But I remember UTSA when we would go and watch, because a friend of ours at the time, Anthony, loved watching the women's basketball. He was big into basketball. So we go and watch the women's basketball games before the men's games, right? And really, you'd see some great fundamental basketball. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not the greatest when it comes to basketball, whether it comes to playing it or watching it, which is why I watch when it gets to the NBA Finals and that's it. You know, I can't call out the plays like I can in football, right? It's just like that. But I will say, fundamentally, they are better. However, the excitement isn't there, and people don't support them as much as they should. And I really wish there were more people in the stands.
Well, I do too, but here's the deal. And we've talked about this before in another show, another episode. More people would support, in my opinion, more people would support WNBA if more women supported the WNBA. Because if more women support the WNBA, how many women go to NBA games with their man and they don't really give two shits about it? But this is, you know, what we're doing. Because whenever, you know, if what I've seen, if a woman dates a guy, if the guy's into hockey and they're not really into it, they're going to get matching jerseys. They're going to go to games. They're going to, if it's football, they're not really into football, they might get into it. Or they might all of a sudden like the sport and really be diehard. Or a guy dates somebody who's a diehard sports person like them. Guys, on the other hand, we don't really do that. You know, we don't say, oh, you're into what? You want to go where? No, I'm not doing that. We don't do it. But if there are more women who are like, we're going to go watch the Sparks. LA Sparks are coming to San Antonio. You're coming to me to this game. All right. And then you start to see the fan base build up. The other thing, though, I think back in the day when we were in college, watching, you know, women's basketball, it was very fundamental. It reminds me of when the Dream Team happened. And the Dream Team went overseas and just started dominating all these people who played really good fundamental basketball and made them look silly. I think the game for women's basketball has changed. When you look at your Skylar Diggins, you look at your, even go back to Cheryl Swoops. I mean, the style of play has changed where these girls can ball and you watch them. I mean, they're exciting to watch. They just got to bring, I mean, the only thing, they don't have dunks. And even some of them can dunk, but it's still not as.
Brittany Griner can dunk.
Yeah, it's still not as good as the, it's not as exciting.
I mean,
as the
ain't no tomahawk.
But what I do like about this story, that there's a little controversy. We like that in men's basketball. You know, we couldn't wait to see the first time Shaq and Kobe played against each other. We couldn't wait to see the first time Durant and Westbrook played against each other. Oh, they had a fight. You know, these two people had a fight last game. Oh, we can't wait till they match up again. We're going to watch it just to see if there's more tension. So maybe this game is going to be a catalyst for more people getting into the stands, a lot more people watching.
Well, and you're right. If women support it more, then guys will too, because guys always go where the women are. Guys are in the grocery store because they know women have to eat. So
that's a weird analogy. That's a weird place you went, but okay.
Yeah. So somebody else that popped up and really made a lot of waves over the weekend, Sha'Carri Richardson. And I will say, when I first saw her, right, because I didn't hear about her until literally today. And I love track and field when it comes to the Olympics, especially the Summer Olympics. And then first thing I thought when I saw her was, because they said, you know, she's bringing style back to women's track and field. And I go, oh, she reminds me of FloJo, which it's funny because Yahoo says, meet Sha'Carri Richardson, the FloJo of our time. And I can see why they say it, because, you know, she's got the sleeves, the one arm sleeve, the one leg sleeve, the extremely long fingernails. She's got the long flowing hair. FloJo was a beast and dominated and was, you know, kept her fashion. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to go, I have to be exactly this. She lived outside the box, stepped outside the box, and just whooped everybody's ass. And it looks like Sha'Carri Richardson could be that next person to do this.
It does. But my question is this. If you took out the weave, mm-hmm. would that give her an extra 0.1, you know, on her 100-meter dash? I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, she ran a 10.48, right, to qualify it again to Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And so if you took that out, what if that got her a 10.47? Like, wouldn't you rather have the 10.47? Now, look good, do whatever makes you feel good while you're running. I'm just saying, I feel like it's like, you know, swimmers, they, you know, shave off all the hair off their body to help them get, you know, that extra tenth of a second. So I just wonder, would that help? She's phenomenal. She's a phenomenal athlete. I'm excited to see her in the Tokyo Olympics. I love the homage she's doing to FloJo. Mm-hmm. And FloJo was style. She was grace. She was a beast. Like, it was so, it's still, if you YouTube and watch mm-hmm. the relays that FloJo was in and just watch her come back and just smoke people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was great. And I think that's totally fine. You can look however you want when you run. I just wonder, like, would it have saved some time? The nails, I don't know what that does aerodynamically, if that okay. helps anything.
Hold on. Let's just, you know, you're going to stop this weave shaming here, okay? Two things.
First, I didn't weave shame.
Yes, you did, because here's the thing about it. The race you're talking about is a semifinal race, right? And in that semifinal race, 30 meters from the finish line, she points. Well, about 50 meters out, she looks at the clock. And then about 30 meters out, she points to the clock like, yeah, look at that time. Knowing, and then I think, I want to say it was a 10.6 that she ran. Was that a 10.4 or 10.6? I know you said 10.4, but I think it was a 10.6. Closest person was like a 10.8, and the next one behind was a 10.96, right? And she did that, which is the same kind of thing that Usain Bolt used to do. Usain Bolt, for the last 20, 30 meters, would look to the side, look to the crowd, and just, yay, you know? And he would actually let up. And not run through what?
He did that after he already set world records.
Oh, boy.
So once you've set world records and no one is in front of you, they're not going to beat it. So you can do that. But you got a chance to set a world record. Why not just go for the record?
So here's my point. You said nothing about her pointing at the clock. You said if she took the weave off, would she shave some time off?
No, I did, because let's just say she was like, you know what? I'm going to go.
You're weave shaming. Yeah, I thought, no, which, if she showed up, if say, she showed up bald headed, now you'd be like, I know that's aerodynamically great.
However, I just said that if she was going for the world record, let's say she's like, I'm not going to let up the gas whatsoever. I'm going all out. And she did 100 meters going all out, not letting up the gas. And let's say she runs a 10.3. Mm-hmm. And then she does it again, you know, sans weave, and runs a 10.29. What is a better number to have? A 10.29. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not even going to entertain this anymore.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not saying don't ever wear weave, but I'm like, if you're going to go for the world record in 100 meters, do you really need to have hair down to your lower back? White, black, green, red, doesn't matter.
Flo Jo did it. Whether, you weren't saying this about Flo Jo.
We didn't have a show when FloJo was doing this. I was in like middle school, high school. I was still growing and learning.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh my God. Leave that girl and her weave alone. If she came out there with a bald head and a part on the side, you'd be mad.
I think it's unbelievable what she's able to pull off in 100 meters. I think she's phenomenal. And I'm rooting for her. I can't wait to see her dominate. Is she running in the sprint relay too?
I'm sure. I mean, usually those who run the 100 are running the 4x100. You put your fastest.
I want to see her in the sprint relay.
And she's probably going to anchor it, because if she's the fastest, yes, she's going to anchor. And it's going to be interesting, yeah, because now you're talking about it's going to be the American women versus Jamaican women. Because Shelly Ann Frazier still has the fastest time, women's time in the world. She's still the world's fastest woman. And Shelly Ann Frazier has been running for a while. So this is going to probably be her last Olympics. But it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of rolls down in the finals. 4x100 when it comes to the women. And the men too, because it's going to be the Jamaican men versus the American men. So we all know that. Everybody else is just there to fill the rest of the lanes.
Who are you going for, Jamaica or America?
Well, I mean, you know what? It really all depends. I haven't seen the rest of the team yet. But, mm-hmm, yeah, I mean, look, I know when Bolt was running, I was going to go for Jamaica off the rip, because I'm a Usain Bolt fan. I thought he reminded me of when Michael Johnson was running, right? You know, Michael, mm-hmm, Johnson with the gold shoes running the 400 and the 200. Loved to watch him run that, and he was always dominating. So for me, it's who are those people that stand out? Like, I love to see Allyson Felix run, and Allyson Felix has been amazing. This is going to be her last Olympics at the age, I think, 35 or 36, and excited to see. So I'm excited for this Olympics. I'm glad to see some excitement around it. And I'm excited for it, because I grew up watching the Olympics and loved it.
There's only one team I go for when I watch the Olympics.
Who's that?
America.
Okay.
USA. That's it.
Okay.
I don't root for the other ones.
Okay.
It's USA only.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
It's all right.
Okay. And that's good.
It's all right.
That's good. I'm not mad at you for that.
Why do you hate the flag, Yanni? Why do you hate the flag?
You know what's so crazy is, in order for me to get my my green card, which is actually pink, I had to pass tests that most people born in America would fail and lose their citizenship. I just want to point that out.
Well, I mean, when you're born the chosen ones, you know, it's, we don't have to do those red tapes. We don't have to go through all those hurdles.
Okay, Trump. Perfect way to transition to politics as usual, because you're sounding very much like Ted Cruz right now.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Because I care about all of America. Ted Cruz cares about himself. And his family, truth be told. He cares about his family. I mean, what family man wouldn't care when, you know, the snowpocalypse has, mm-hmm, happened and you see your kids are, mm-hmm, cold. They can't go out and play in the, you know, million-dollar neighborhood that you,
right,
live in. They can't do all those extra, exactly, things. You know, your wife is like, hey, we should get, mm-hmm, away. Let's go to that cool place we like in Cancun.
Okay.
You know, any dad would do that. So, yeah, it's warm. Awesome.
You know, they've got room service. Yeah.
It's better than this shithole we're dealing with now, thanks to ERCOT.
And they got Wi-Fi.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's totally different than Ted Cruz. But we all know Ted Cruz and what I feel about him, that we need to vote him out. This past week, you know, he was asked about, is he concerned about Matthew McConaughey potentially running? Because Matthew's thinking about putting his name in hat politics, which I'm curious, because a lot of times we give these actors and celebrities, you know, flack for trying to jump into politics. Like, what do they know? But we've seen someone that's a TV personality that made it all the way to president. We've seen two people do it,
yep,
Ronald Reagan and Trump. So we know it can be done. I'm curious to see what Matthew would bring. You know, I'd go to Matthew McConaughey rally in a heartbeat, banging drums, smoking weed, you know, pumping his chest. I'd do all of that for Matthew McConaughey to be running in the ticket. But so Ted Cruz says that, you know, he hopes he's not running. He said he's a really talented actor, really attractive, charming guy, which I was like, that's a nice compliment. But hopes that he doesn't, you know, run, because you never know what that can do. So hopefully Texas decides to make some, mm-hmm, changes, you know, after some of the things that we've seen from Kremlin Cruz. And, you know, we choose to vote him out.
Cancun Cruz, Kremlin Cruz, you know, I wonder if Matthew McConaughey would follow in the footsteps of his fellow screen politicians, because, you know, Ronald Reagan did the whole Make America Great Again, too. Matter of fact, he was one of the first ones. He might have been the first one to use the Make America Great Again slogan. The next person was actually Bill Clinton, who did that when he announced that he was running for president. He said he was going to make America great again. And, of course, you know, Trump went ahead and branded it with MAGA. And we saw where that led us. And matter of fact, we can say that about all three of those presidents, because there are things that Bill Clinton did that were not great at all. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what Matthew McConaughey
minus the one that everybody hates. I mean, that's separate. There are some things he did that didn't agree with politically. What he did under the desk, I'm not talking about.
I'm talking about some of the things he did politically too. Telecommunications Act of 96 totally screwed up this radio and records industry. There's that. Three strikes. There's so many things that Bill Clinton did. That really screwed with a lot of people. Deregulating the communications industry was not good. And then it's interesting to watch Bush go by and go behind him and go, hey, well, you know what? Let's go do that with the banking industry. And hence, Obama had to come in and clean up the mess. So, but yeah, so it'd be interesting if Matthew McConaughey does run. Let's see, what's he going to run for? Governor? Is that what he's looking at? Has he said?
I don't think it's running for governor, but I think it could be either Senate he hasn't said. He's just thinking about jumping into the politics. I would hope it'd be something probably at the state level. I don't think it would make sense for him to run for senator and try to take out Ted Cruz, because that would not go well.
Wouldn't go well.
You had Beto O'Rourke try it, who actually is a talented politician, and he wasn't able to pull
it off. Beto should be the vice presidential nominee. I'm like, are y'all kidding? He couldn't even win his own state. But again, and the reason being is because Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida, and Texas is going to Flexus, and regardless of all the efforts that you put in, and I admire the effort you're doing. I mean, I think it's great. I love the passion you have with it. I love the fact that you're very clear, and you know exactly the reason why you want him out of office, and you stress that. You know, you keep reminding people why, not just because, oh, I don't like Ted Cruz, and we don't agree politically. You go, no, here's why, and I love the fact that you do that. Because people need to understand why.
Yeah.
And it's a very valiant effort. However, it's not going to work. Because Texas is going to Flexus and put Ted Cruz back in office.
You never know. Everybody thought Georgia would go red. You never know.
Well,
Texas would probably do the same. They'd be like, we need to recount this stuff again.
We need to count it the Texas way. We need to use Texas
This
map.
Paper feels like it has some bamboo in it from China.
One for you, five for me. Oh, man. So as we get into this bullshit, speaking of Texas and Texas going to Flexus, there's an interesting story that came out of you know what's so funny? Because Sha'Carri Richardson is out of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Houston. Then we just talked about Ted Cruz. This is a very Texas based sweep here in the podcast. Because this next story that we got in the email is out of Texas.
Yes. So you're a reality show junkie. Are you familiar with the show called Family or Fiancé?
Am I familiar? Yes, I've heard of it. I've seen the promos for it. Have I watched it? Nah.
Okay, so this is a show where I guess people bring their families to meet their fiancés knowing that they don't agree, right? So, right. I don't watch it, but it could be you don't agree with the fact that he's black and I'm white or whatever. You know, he's Muslim and you're Catholics, whatever the case may be. But there's this black couple. Yeah, there's this black couple, LaShonda and Marlon Moore, of the Dallas suburb of Prosper, Texas. Mm-hmm. They started a company called Blessings in No Time.
Mm.
Blessings in No Time, B-I-N-T, touting it as a link funding business in which people can overcome financial obstacles from medical bills to their children's college tuition or raise money for worthy causes through fundraising involving family, friends, and kind strangers. Mm-hmm. So a pyramid scheme at the end of the day. And people fell for it. And so they targeted the black community across all the U.S. And so far, they've had over 200 complaints with about people alleging more than $700,000 in losses. And it's one of those schemes where you put in $1,400, we guarantee that in 2 weeks, we're going to give you $11,000. Mm-hmm. And so all these people were doing it. And then they said that they were going to, you know, start refunding the money. They start talking about all these issues and nothing's happened. So now, you know, the FBI and courts are going after them, which is crazy. But the fact that you're going to listen to a group that's blessings.
I can't, the fact
that you have blessings in no time is the key. Because I remember, I'm not religious, but I grew up in church. And I remember them saying, he may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. Mm-hmm. But yet this group, blessings in no time. You're going to make some money.
Look.
And people bought into that. Crazy town.
They're in the news because they have a little bit of fame. A little bit of fame, right? People know who they are. And that's why. But you saw this in the pandemic all last year. 2020 was the year of the blessing loom, the circle game, the blessing circle, the susu, as they went back to, here's what it was, and here's where it started. So it's legal, and you could, if you put in $500, and then you'll get back, you know, was it $4,000, you know, and I think it was a month or 2 months or something like that, you get it back, because it's the recruiting. Once you see the diagram, you go, oh, yeah, I've seen this before. It's the go out, sell cologne joint. It's you remember that shit, don't you? You remember that shit, don't you?
Yeah, I know you liked your car, but I want you to check out Dracker. Dracker is.
Oh my God. It's amazing how many people fell for this because it sounds so good and it sounds so easy. People are in this sense of FOMO. People have a fear of missing out, and you don't want to be the one that misses out. That's why a lot of people fell for the Dogecoin when it shot up. And it's like, okay, yeah. So you put some in and wait because somebody made a bunch of money. And then you jump in, and all of a sudden it dives back down. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. And it's the same thing. Blessing loom, I get it. And I know it. The way the article is written says, well, they targeted the people in the black community. Well, guess what? Anybody that had this had... was targeting the black community because they said, well, this is what immigrants did when they came over. You know, it's an African tradition.
Yeah.
It's the susu.
Yeah.
And
I got targeted. I sat and listened to the little whole presentation. I'm just like, bullshit.
I can't believe you.
Like, actually, the whole time. I did, because it was. So I had a group of friends that we started looking at investing around when the pandemic first started. Mm-hmm. And we had like a weekly call where we would talk about certain stocks we were paying attention to and all these different things.
Right.
And then another guy in the group was like, hey, have y'all heard of this? You know, someone hit me to this and I think this is a great idea. And I was like, what? And so he played the presentation for us and I listened to it. I was just like, yeah, that's a hard pass.
So I'm like, surprised that you actually made it through the presentation. Maybe you saw a different one than one that I saw, because I saw...
This was the pandemic. I had nothing else to do.
Okay.
Couldn't leave the house.
Because
I'm just at home sipping whiskey. I'm like, yeah, I'll listen to this bullshit.
People call me the grammar police, but I know you're a little more judgmental than I am. And therefore, what? Okay, my bad. You're a little more judgy than I am. Does that make it better? I know. Listen, 30 seconds in, I was like, I ain't listening to these motherfuckers. Clutch my pearls. I ain't listening to these people. Shit. They can't even put a full sentence together.
You're like, you people are crazy.
Yous needs to learn how to use the English language first.
It's like Star Wars. Misa thinks you crazy.
Oh, my God. Yo, check this out. Another one got an email. rgrtpod@gmail.com was, and I saw this kind of moving around social the other day, Kevin Hart, who was a little upset that people were saying that he wasn't funny. And someone was like, well, you know, what do you think about Kevin Hart? Because I've always said, I don't think his stand-up is extremely funny, right? I realize, and it's nothing against him, because I find him very entertaining. I like Kevin Hart. if he's doing an interview, I will watch it because I think he has great information. I think he's very motivational. I think he's entertaining. I think he's funny in interviews. But I don't, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch a Kevin Hart stand-up. A lot of his jokes fall flat on me. They just don't do it for me. And his role in movies, I've seen it in every movie except Pets, but he was a little different. He was slightly different than Pets. But he was. So, go ahead.
Well, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
I was gonna say, you know, he was all in his feelings in this, and I'm just going to pull this up real quick. Some of the what he tweeted, because he was obviously really upset about this, right? And he said, the he's not funny slander is the best. This is for you. I have 3 stand-up comedy specials that fall in the top 10 highest grossing comedy specials of all time. 2 of my specials are in the top 3 of all time. I've been the highest grossing comedian in entertainment for years now. I've also been the highest grossing comedian in the box office with over $4 billion in earnings. And he also had a screenshot of an article that said top highest paid comedians in the world 2021. And like number 5 was Sebastian Maniscalco, who had 26 million. Trevor Noah at 28 million. I love Trevor Noah. And mainly because I saw his first stand-up African-American. And I could really relate, especially to a lot of the differences in the use of the English words, right? Jim Gaffigan was number 3 with 30 million. Jerry Seinfeld, who I do not find funny at all. I've never watched Seinfeld. I don't find his style of humor. I've never watched any of his stand-up. It doesn't do it for me. But he made 41 million, so I'm not mad at him. Is he funny? Yeah, to some people, obviously. And Kevin Hart, 59 million. Is he funny? Not always to me, but to some people he's okay. Funny. And apparently he had time that day to jump on Twitter and respond to people.
Well, here's what it boils down to me. It's 2 things. 1, Kevin, why are you responding to that kind of stuff? Who says something that really pissed you off? Because there's a difference when some random fan comments on something and it, like, you know, gets under your skin. But if you're the number one grossing person, why are you entertaining these things? Some people think you're funny. I think Kevin Hart is funny. But my second point is everybody's not going to like him. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You don't like him. I think Kevin Hart is funny. I think Kevin Hart has done a lot of phenomenal things for comedians. Yep. He's done well for himself. Mm-hmm. He's brought up a lot of people with him. You know, Tiffany Haddish wouldn't be here without a Kevin Hart. You know, he's done a lot of things to help other people, and he's used his platform wisely. The other thing is, I don't hear Kevin Hart speaking negatively about other comics. Right. You know, he doesn't talk bad about other folks. Now, the reality is, you might not like it. You might not like his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Seinfeld, I think, is funny. Jim Gaffigan, I think, is funny. You know, they all have their things. Mm-hmm. But I think for Kevin, I just don't understand why he is wasting energy talking about this. You know, if some people don't think you're funny, but yet you made all this money, who cares what they think?
Right.
Keep doing your thing and just move on. And when it comes to his movies, I don't knock him. You know, he's doing the exact same character in every movie, and you got to make money doing it. Keanu Reeves has been doing that forever, since Gross Point Blank and all the Matrix and all the John Wick. It's the same character. It hasn't changed. The only time I've seen Keanu Reeves be somebody different is in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures and The Parenthood, where he played this like stoner dude. And Parenthood, that came out in like late 80s. So that's an old movie.
So that he was playing the same character he was in Bill and Ted.
Technically, it was the same character in Bill and Ted. And then he started doing this. And it's worked for him. And the dude's making money. He's a great human being. Love him. So, Kevin, keep doing your thing. But don't worry about what all these people are saying about you. If it's making you money and you're doing well and you're helping other people, who cares if people don't think you're funny? Everybody's not going to like you.
So obviously you and I have different tastes in comedy. Who would you say then is in your top 5? It doesn't have to be in order, but do you have a top three or top 5?
It's hard. I would say, you know, you think about new comics. You know, I like Ryan Davis. Follow him on Facebook. He's hilarious. I think he's on Patreon now.
Patreon.
There you go. Bill Burr. I don't pay for that. I don't want to pay to listen to your jokes.
Yeah, I mean, we need more fans to be able to
we're not at that level. Yeah, we're not
right
Patreon
now,
level.
We'd be paying ourselves.
It'd just be us two subscribing to ourselves. But you know, Ryan Davis as a young comic is great. You know, Bill Burr I think is funny. Eddie Griffin, like a lot of your old ones. Gary Goldman is funny. You know, I like your I like Amy Schumer. You know, I like some more. I like a lot of these different folks. John Mulaney, Anthony Jeselnik. I like the kind of the raunchy, you know, meme comedy. You know, I wanted to like Louis C.K. until he started like, you know, doing what he did. And I can't say out loud that I like Louis. It was nowhere on Bill Cosby level, but it's close. I'm just like, I can't say it, but.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Louis C.K. you can't find him anywhere, but if you have him on CD or somewhere, if you listen to it, you watch it, it's still funny.
You can't find him. He's streaming his own. He's putting his own stuff out there, and then you just pay for it, which is like, you know, $7-$8. And he's still making money on it.
Of course.
Yeah. His last one that was out, you watch it, he comes out and it's like, so how was y'all's year?
I like Louis C.K. I always thought Louis C.K. was funny in the way he would do stuff, like especially when he go, you know, I really hate that. I really hate the N-word, you know. No, not the N-word. And I just thought that alone was it's funny because but there were so many different comedians. Like, if you look at the top five for me, I've got Chris Rock in there. Every other comedy special, not every, because every other is usually great, and then the one in between is not as great. Bill Burr, same. I mean, I love Bill Burr. I've followed him for a while. I think he is amazing. Love his angry style, which I guess is the same way as Chris Rock. But D.L. Hewley, love D.L., man. I think D.L. is one of those comedians that if you ever get a chance to see him live, go see him live. Do not go see him in the last show if he's in a comedy club, because by then he's had way too much brown liquor. You don't want to do that. You catch him earlier, because when he starts hitting you with those jokes to round up his set, as he'll hit you with one, you'll laugh at it, hit you with another one while you're laughing at that one, and while you're still laughing at the first two, he'll drop another three on you and just have you like, yo, please stop, seriously, I'm going to pee my pants. So love DL. Wanda Sykes, love Wanda Sykes. You know, her stand-up was always great. I especially love the one, you know, before she came out, she was talking about, you know, when she was married and then she was babysitting her niece and nephew, and she's like, what? They're not my kids.
Yeah.
All the things she let the kids do, they're not my kids.
Yeah.
So, and then one of the new guys I really like, Andrew Schultz, got into him based on the Brilliant Idiots podcast. Didn't know he was a comedian until all of a sudden he started putting out clips on YouTube. And he just put out these clips, and I was like, you know, these things are funny. Then got to check out one of his specials, and he's got a lot of dope content. And what's my guy's name? Oh, my God. Just like that, I forgot. He was doing stadiums everywhere. He's one of the most popular comedians that you've never heard of. Jesus. And I just drew a blank that quick. Dang.
Sorry. Post it on the page.
Yeah, but he's
now. I noticed that you didn't say. So here's my thing, and here's what I've noticed. I love comedy radio. Let me back up. I love comedy, but I listen to a lot of comedy radio when I'm getting ready for work in the morning. Because I think if you're going to start your day, start with a laugh.
Right.
And what I like about it is you hear a lot of different comics. Now, in the hour you're getting ready for work or whatever, I don't have the patience to listen to a comic for like an hour, hour and a half straight. I don't really want to watch a whole show. Like, even if you have a Netflix special, you know, I might watch half, then I'm going to get distracted doing something else. And then a couple days later, I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't finish watching that Bill Burr deal. I don't have the patience. Not that they're not funny. I just don't want to sit and listen to anybody for an hour and a half. But what I'm finding is what I don't like the most is when the comedians get a little preachy, right? I just want to laugh. I don't want to, like, you know, Dave Chappelle, all his comedy has been great. A lot of his recent stuff, to me, is not funny. He will have this really serious thing and it helps you think, but it's not funny. I'm like, dude, I just really want to laugh. Like, that's what I'm here for.
That's because he's a storyteller now. He's no longer a comedian. He's a storyteller.
And I get it. And he's an artist. I totally get it, right? But also, the way I look at a sandwich artist, I get that you're really creative with sandwiches. I don't need the creativity. What I want is a foot long on wheat, and I want this meat, and I want this cheese. This is what I want. This is what I'm here to pay for. I don't want to say, hey, surprise me with what you think I might like. No, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think comedians have every right to get up and use their platform and talk about the things they want to talk about. I just don't want to pay to go see that. You know, I'm rather just like, I paid for you to make me laugh. I don't want to walk out here like, you know, reevaluating, you know, the media and entertainment and all this other stuff. I just want to have some laughs. You know, my shit in my life, it sucks too. And I have some things I want to escape. And to me, that's all I want. And so once comedians reach that level of fame where that's what they do, that's when I kind of start to just, you know, separate myself. Dennis Miller, if I go back to the 80s, Dennis Miller was funny. And then once he started getting just overly political, I'm just like, okay, I don't really want all that. Yeah. I just want to laugh. And Dave, some of the stuff Dave talks about, I'm just like, that's cool. It's great. And I know that there's another group of people that would say, well, he's not a clown. You can't be like, dance clown, do this. I'm saying all I want to pay for is for someone that's going to entertain me. I don't want to pay to listen to you get some shit off your chest.
I will say DL has mastered the art of bringing politics into his set and still making
DL
it funny.
DL does a great job with
DL's it. DL's amazing.
He does a great job with it because it's not super heavy.
Yeah.
It's funny, but he does a way that it's not like,
exactly.
Yes, you are 100% right. DL does a great job of that.
And the guy I was talking about before was Russell Peters, if you ever get a chance. He's Indian. And
oh,
Canadian.
Russell Peters is
Russell
hilarious.
Russell Peters is hilarious.
Yeah.
But just to your point, and I'm going to go off. I'm going to head down the side street for a quick second because you said you don't want the sandwich artist to surprise you, right? And it just reminded me of I was in a speakeasy the other day, right? And so we're all ordering drinks. And one of my coworkers is like, oh, what's that drink that you got before? Let me get that one. So I start giving the bartender the ingredients. And they go, hold up. Let me make you a drink. It's like, well, excuse me. You're the expert. You make them a better drink than the one I was just telling you the ingredients to make, right? And then they brought this drink out. Which, it wasn't for me because I like my shit real simple. Don't come with the fancy drinks. I don't need all that shit. You know, oh, it's a little bit of sweet, a little bit of sour, a little bit of tangy, a little bit of, you know, I don't need all that shit. Just give me my bourbon on the rocks and they'll be fine. But gave the drink to the coworker and she was like, that's okay. Like, yeah, he should have just made my goddamn drink. That's I know what I'm talking about.
So this goes back to our conversation episodes back where I'm like about working in the restaurant industry. If they don't know how to make the drink you want, don't even ask for it. Get something different that they know how to make. Because even if you give them the recipe for whatever drink you got to want, it's not going to taste the way
it's
you want it.
Four
it's
going to be bad. Ingredients.
Doesn't matter. It's not going to taste the way you want it. They're going to go through all that work and you're going to be like, just if they don't know how to make the drink that you want, don't. Now, the other thing is, if you're going to go order cocktails somewhere, look at your surroundings, right? So look, if you are in a nightclub, don't order a French 75 or like a really nice old fashioned.
Because
they don't know what the hell
is.
They're doing. Exactly. They don't know what they're doing. And, so don't even order that. And don't even try to tell them this is what goes in it. Just don't.
Again.
Get your Tito's and tonic, pay, and walk away.
Again.
And mind your business.
It wasn't that. It was a speakeasy. It's not a lot of people. And that's how this person decided they wanted to. This bartender who was like, I'm a specialist. I'm a mixologist. Just let me make this. I'm like, you don't even know what you made. You heard the ingredients going into this and went, I'll make you something else that's better. And it wasn't.
Well, here's the deal, though. I don't know where you got the original drink from. That's my whole point.
Oh,
it doesn't matter.
I can tell you where I got the original drink from.
Wherever you got the original drink from.
We made it.
At a speakeasy, they're not going to make it the way you like it because at most speakeasies I've been to, they are mixologists. They do make their own sweet and sour. They make their own simple syrup. They do all this stuff that's like homemade because they are passionate about the drink. Whatever you might
have
ordered,
they don't
know it.
Offline and you'll realize how easy it is.
It could be a vodka cranberry.
You know,
hey, don't go to a speakeasy and order vodka cranberry.
Listen here, you weavist, you, and obviously you restaurantist, because if somebody has never worked,
just say bougie drink order. Let's just call it what I am. I'm bougie when it comes to ordering.
We're just gonna call you snooty, because at the end of the day, it's
I'm snooty tang.
Because at the end of the day, just because I haven't worked in the restaurant industry, which, you know what, I have worked in the service industry. I own my own bar, okay?
But you didn't make drinks.
Yes, CJ.
I need CJ to message in.
Let me explain something. Let me explain something to you. I've been back there in that bar making drinks. Of course. Because here's the key. I've been in the trenches.
I've been in the shit. I served my nickel.
And I didn't even get tips. I gave it to my workers. Because that's the kind of boss I am. And the drink I have was one of our biggest sellers, and it's one of those drinks. Like, I can't drink it because it's way too sweet, but women love that drink. My wife loves it. We go somewhere like we went to Chops in Atlanta and ordered. And of course, like you said, it's always going to be slightly different no matter where you go. And so it's always interesting to see how different people make it. And it's like, do you like it or not? Okay, because if you like it, cool. If you don't, fine. We'll get something else. But when they made it, she was like, yo, this is probably the best version of this I've ever had. I'm like, great. Because they followed the directions easy. It's really simple.
Can't wait to hear about it.
And when I tell it to you, it's really simple. Because trust me.
I can't wait to hear about it.
I can make it.
I'm just like,
It's really simple. turn your nose up. I tell you what. You make it for your next date and you see what happens.
Yeah, I'll still be single. I like a woman who doesn't like the food.
Oh, I didn't see you were getting married.
It's like, give me a whiskey on the rocks. I'm like, boo, like your style.
I've got the perfect woman for you. As we continue in this bullshit, and she just started her own. She's an entrepreneur. She just started her own hair care line.
Hard pass.
Come on, man. What's wrong with Tessica Brown, a.k.a. Gorilla Glue Girl? Absolutely nothing wrong with her, who is taking her 15 minutes of fame and, expanding on it, going to her 16th, 17th minute. Like, take for instance, just to get you caught up in case you're like, who the hell is Tessica Brown? She's known because of that Gorilla Glue fiasco, and she's capitalizing on it. Now, remember, she put Gorilla Glue in her hair. She's named a.k.a. Gorilla Glue Girl, which she hates. But, hey, that's what gave you your claim to fame. You better stick to it. Matter of fact, she made charts for that, too. But she revealed on Instagram that she now has a new line of hair care products called Forever Hair.
Okay.
Okay, we'll talk about the name in a second. She said, as y'all already know, about 4 months ago, I ran out of hairspray and ended up using Gorilla Glue spray. Bad, bad idea. As a result of that, I ended up losing my hair and having scalp damage. But since then, I've been working with professionals to create and formulate a hair root oil. Now, she'll have oil that sells for like $14 and $18. And because edges are so important, a $13 edge control product.
Okay.
She'll like your whiskey on the rocks.
A few things on this. Let's just... People that follow us know me, and they already know what I'm going to say. A, I'm not a fan of weaves, and so she wasn't putting that Gorilla Glue on her real her as she was tapping. No. The fact that she doesn't say hair, she says her, automatically I'm out. Right? But number three.
Such a language.
Number three. Remember when 45 was saying, what if, people use bleach and maybe, drink bleach and that would cure the coronavirus? And there were people who tried it and got sick. So imagine if somebody tried drinking bleach to prevent them from getting the coronavirus. And then 4 months later, they come back like, hey, guys, I'm that person that went viral for drinking bleach, thinking I could, stop the coronavirus. I've been working with professionals, and we've come up with the right solution. If you drink this, just drink three tablespoons of this, you will not get COVID, you won't get the flu, you won't get chlamydia, you won't get diabetes, you won't get cancer, you won't get gout, you won't get anything. Three tablespoons of this, we've worked it out. You're going to say no. Same thing I say to Tessica Brown's products. Now, kudos to Tessica Brown. Make your money. Do what you need to do. I applaud that. There's no way in hell I'm going to put any of that stuff in my hair. I'm going to stick to the Murray's. I'm going to stick to those African mango. That's what I use. I don't know what it's called. This is like this African mango kind of juices and berries is what I use. And it's awesome. But...
So, if you go on a date and somebody's like, yeah, so I just tried this new product, Forever Hair.
Yeah. hey, this has been nice. You're a really nice person. And you're going to meet the man of your dreams. I can't wait for you to be so happy.
But it's not going to be me. Yeah, check, please. Yeah.
God bless you in all your endeavors.
Oh, my God. Let's get out of here, man. So I would say, what are you sipping on? But your glass looks empty. So what were you sipping on?
Four Roses. Small batch.
Oh, small batch. Okay, dope. Yeah. Dope, man. You know, it's funny. That's my go-to when I go out places. I'm like, all right, do you have Four Roses? Single barrel or small batch? Don't give me that Wild Irish Rose version of Four Roses. That's more just like one rose.
Well, that's why I bought it, because you and I have been recording on Sundays around, you know, noon. And so it's too early for us to be drinking. We've been having water, coffee, you know, smoothies. So I was kind of excited that we had to do this redo tonight because it was totally my fault. And I was like, I'm going to go buy some Four Roses of small batch because we've not had a chance to do this in a while.
True. Yep. I've been drinking this Bullet for a while. As you can see, this is a big bottle.
Hey, well, Bullet lasts a lot longer in your house than it does in mine, as I can see.
That's because I don't have stories of the night of the morning after.
What, when I go on my, like, Facebook rants and just start, like, removing people?
That, and, you know, when you start eating up, like, 3 and 4 servings of food and having people come.
But it was barbecue.
Let me tell you about last night.
Good barbecue.
Yeah, I don't do that. I wake up too early in the morning to be doing
too
that.
Too true.
So, yeah.
Too true.
But
too true.
You know what? This Bullet Bourbon is my go-to. I love my Four Roses. I love my Blattons, but Bullet Bourbon is that good one to keep in the house. It's my backup. So,
got it.
Always good to have it. I'm Yanni Rude.
I'm Just Terrell.
Remember to follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.